If you're in the market for a super addictive puzzle game, you have to check out Mini Motorways on Apple Arcade. It's a city planning strategy puzzler with an incredibly satisfying gameplay loop. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. New subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.
Yes, hello, and welcome to Pixel Sift. I am your host, Scott, and for those of you joining us for the first time, we are a show dedicated to indie developers from around Australia and the world. Joining me tonight is my co-host, Mitch. Hello, Mitch.
I'm on this side of the desk.
Yes.
Yep, back.
And joining our guests this evening are James Coney and Daniel Spiteri. Together, they are the Pixel Engineers. Thanks for joining us, guys. Yes, James and Daniel are here to talk about their asymmetric multiplayer game, Hunt and Sneak. But before we get to that, Mitch, what are we covering?
Yeah, well, it seems like some keen Fortnite players have been going to pretty crazy lengths to get their hands on a promotional skin as part of a recent Samsung tie-in promotion.
I think we're going to have to get you to switch mics there, Mitch. I think that one's broken.
Is it?
Yep. Sounds like you're talking from over there.
That's okay. All
but right. Yes, Fortnite, crazy skins, all that coming up in just a second.
Hey, Mitch.
Yep.
You know, there is multiple ways that you can subscribe to Pixel Sift.
Oh, yeah? How's that?
You could subscribe on your podcast player of choice if you like audio-only versions.
Like Apple Podcasts or Pocket Casts?
Or even Google Play if you're in the US. Or you can jump on Twitch and you can give us a follow. Or on YouTube if you like the video versions.
Wow, that's awesome. I didn't know we were on so many things.
Yep, and you'll get a handy little notification as soon as there's a new episode for you to watch or listen to.
Wow, I'm going to do that right now.
I'm sure you will, Mitch, because you're a good boy.
Good boy, Mitch.
You know, that
You've
is...
done a nice little covert mic switch.
Yeah, I'm over here now. okay, so...
Topic number the first, Mitchell. Take it away.
So, Fortnite players have always been a passionate bunch, but now they've taken their passion to all new levels by actually, well, in relation to a promotion that Samsung ran with the game to have a very exclusive skin only available with their new Samsung S9 devices, I believe.
That's, yep.
And
Note 9.
Note 9s, yeah. So this is the latest Samsung phone. The skin in Fortnite was directly tied to the players purchasing the phone. And you unlock the skin by kind of just playing three games on that particular device. But there are a couple of catches. The skin can only be obtained once per device, but this has led to certain players going to great lengths to get the skin by visiting stores and taking advantage of retailers' demo copies. Yeah,
there's heaps of them as well. Like, yeah. There's just a bunch of YouTube videos up of people showing themselves going to stores or telling them of their failed or successes.
Yep.
It's been crazy. And I think the retailers are now well and truly onto it.
They are absolutely
that ship
onto
sailed,
it.
I feel.
Yeah.
But yeah, very interesting and very funny. We actually had one of our very own Pixel Sift friends of Pixel Sift, ran into his own little escapade.
Yeah.
We actually have a clip from Yoss's epic Samsung adventure.
Dude, this is like the greatest soundbite I've ever collected.
Yeah, here it comes.
The only way you can either get this skin is you have to access and play three games of Fortnite on a Samsung Galaxy Note 9. So what I did was I was like, you know what? I'm not going to be paying to go and get this phone. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go into this display area. Mm-hmm. And access Fortnite and play it. Simple, right? Think of like Metal Gear Solid alert music in my brain and then accessing a hotspot on my phone.
Yep.
And then connecting the phone to my hotspot.
Yep.
And then downloading Fortnite. This is like a store where only two people are there and there's only like one person every half hour coming in, you know?
Right.
And we have to say that Yoss didn't succeed in that.
He did not succeed. To the full version of that story, which is even more funny than that clip, I probably will post that somewhere in the future. But spoiler alert, he does end up getting the phone and he ends up paying for it. So we do make fun of him for that.
He's a big Fortnite fan, though.
He's a massive Fortnite fan.
James and Daniel, have you ever, what lengths have you gone to get some bonus material or some content? Is this up your alley?
Yeah, I've done a few things. But probably the best examples is a few of my mates. I suppose when it came to sort of similarly, but when Halo 4 was first released, they released a limited edition Halo 4 console. And if you bought the console, you unlocked a unique armor, the Photos armor, I believe it was called. So you know, I had friends go out and buy, you know, a completely new console just to get this this unique armor. Which in my opinion looked a bit ridiculous. Was
well, we can safely say this skin does actually look pretty cool. I'll give it that.
Yesterday when this topic actually came to us after the fact, that story was told to me, and I thought, oh well, I guess Yoss might be the only one that made this connection, but. I decided that I'd go to my local JB Hi-Fi and try and do this.
Yes.
And unlike Yoz, who creeped around a phone for about almost an hour and waited for his opportunity to do this, I asked the dude, I was like, look, I'll be up front with you, doing this story about the Fortnite skin, and I would like to try it. And he goes, well, that's perfectly fine. You can totally do it. Just letting you know, someone's already done it on this phone. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, that was where it ended for me, because I'm not going to... And I realized after the fact that you need to play three games of Fortnite, which is, I don't like doing that anyway. So
you have to win?
You don't have to.
No, you just have to play. So, I mean, it's probably within your interest to like die straight away, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, the idea of something for free drives people wild. And like, if it's exclusive or bonus or rare, then it's even wilder, you know? Like, think... I don't think this matters where you are from in the world. Think if you have a Krispy Kreme, when that opened, I'm sure it was crazy.
Yeah.
Every time the iPhone comes out, crazy. Like, people just go nuts. What's that store that opened in Perth just the other week? Uniqlo?
Yeah, that's the one.
So you can buy all the stuff that they sell off of the internet anyway.
Yeah.
But huge lines down the mall last week for that. I don't understand. That's a puzzle to me.
I think the closest I've ever come to actually... doing something similar to this is when Destiny had a promotion in the original game where you could buy a Red Bull and then you'd get like a Red Bull themed speeder in Destiny. And there were people in, and the promotion was not available in Australia, but you could totally get a Red Bull can if someone would buy one for you in America and send you the code from it, and you could redeem it in Australia. So Australian accounts could obtain the content. And I was like talking to people on Reddit. I was calling up my American friends, and I didn't end up doing it because I just lost interest almost immediately. Yeah.
If you've just tuned in, we are talking about how Fortnite users are using display phones in stores to get an exclusive skin that's just come out, and it is only available for a very small amount of time. I think it clocks out in December. And as Samsung is onto it as well, they are not happy about people trying to do this. So they're onto the new strategy and have started putting up warning signs just not to do it. That's their strategy.
Yeah.
The company don't want to see players doing all this to grab an exclusive skin, especially if it can be such a personal data risk. Some recent reports have suggested that we might see the new Fortnite Galaxy skin lose its exclusivity in the future. So that would be very... many sore people because of that, I think.
It might actually make me buy something in Fortnite if that comes out and it's just available for everyone. I want to, like, take the power away. I'm totally going to buy it.
Yeah, well, like I said, we do love free stuff. I know that every time that free Mars bar giveaway thing comes out, I'm, like, buy 1,000% more Mars bars than I usually do for no good reason, just because I like to win. And there is like a psychological background with this. There's a Duke University professor and author, Dan Reilly, states that even when faced with numerous choices, people will always choose the free one, regardless of its economic value. Many things have pros and cons, but the free option makes people forget the downsides. And that's that kind of applies to this situation. You know, the downside of getting a free skin.
Yeah.
It's not free. You spend not only the, like, you know, the trouble of having to go in stealth or Metal Gear as Yoss did and try and get it done, but you also have to waste, you know, a good amount of time because the download for Fortnite was like 1.4 gig or something.
Yeah, it was.
Off of a phone, I assume. So there might even be personal data, you know. Nothing in this world is free.
I think
listeners.
Also there's like a sense of adventure that I think some Fortnite players are finding pretty sexy. Like they're like, ooh,
went to sexy. This...
Yeah.
Okay.
Like they just like, oh, I've gone to this store.
Yeah.
And
it's like, a challenge. It's good.
Yeah.
It's a good, great story.
It's almost like they've
it's the flavor of the month.
It's like if you manage to do this without buying the phone, it's like your own little victory royale almost. It's like that same button that's pushed in your brain.
It's it's your own personal winner chicken dinner.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, that's probably as much time as I want to give Fortnite again.
Yeah.
As we constantly seem to be doing this week.
I already give it too much time on a Friday.
Very
so.
Funny. Especially because our friend Yoss purchased one himself, which they're not cheap.
Yeah, full disclosure, he totally got a new contract on his phone and he ended up getting the skin.
And he's very happy with his Android.
Yeah.
If anyone else that wants to rush in and get your chance, don't get your skin. Don't get an ex-demo model, I would say.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to just free yourself of like $1,500 and you'll get it for free. All right, next topic.
You're listening to Pixel Sift. Or you might be watching Pixel Sift on Twitch. Pixel Sift.
That is right. You are listening to Pixel Sift. I am Scott, and we are up to our interview portion of the episode. I am joined by James Coney and Daniel Spiteri, and they are from Pixel Engineers in Melbourne. And tonight they've joined us to talk about Hunt and Sneak, which is a comfy couch multiplayer about a spooky dark game of cat and mouse, where you traverse the depths of a murky cave and roam the abandoned halls of an aging manor, escaping the clutches of the ravenous gobbler and chasing down those pesky pixies. And of course, like I said, we're lucky enough to be joined by the team behind the game, Pixel Engineers. James and Daniel, thanks for joining us again.
Hey, guys.
Now, that was a little press kit rendition of the game. Would one of you like to give our listeners, especially the ones that aren't viewing with visuals, a rundown of the actual game, the gameplay?
For sure. So the game is, it's a game about where you are set in a realm filled with mystical creatures and you play either a gobbler or a pixie, and the goal of the gobbler is to gobble up all of the little pixies, and the goal of the pixies is to run away from them and escape them. But you're invisible, so you need to use your light ability to be able to navigate your surroundings. So that just makes it extremely hard, especially when it's everything is all seen on the one screen, and it makes it really fun and on the edge of your seat type of gameplay.
So how many people can play this game at once?
It's 4 people.
Yep. Love a good couch multiplayer. It's our favorite thing here at Pixel Sift.
So nice. The game is relatively asymmetric. Well, it is asymmetric, not relatively asymmetric. Was that a difficult... were those mechanics difficult to construct?
It was a bit of a challenge from that perspective. Just sort of keeping in mind that everyone's going to be on the same screen. But you know, that's what we set out to do, was sort of really create an experience that could be enjoyed by, you know, a group of friends just hanging out, or you know, at a party. So really, just aiming to sort of bring people together, in the sense that you know, we want them to you know, get the most out of the game and really enjoy it.
Yeah, and we're not letting the screen size affect it. We're actually making a custom camera system where it'll be able to move around, follow all the different players, and zoom in and all that sort of thing when it gets close to the action. So when you're near the end of the round and you've only got the last 2 people left, zooms in and the music gets really intense, and it makes for a really fun last couple of seconds.
Fun and frightening.
yes, so definitely with all the spooky music.
Yeah, exactly. On that, actually, while we're on the music, who worked on the soundtrack? It is suitably frightening.
It was Jeff Dunn.
Fantastic. And it was, is that just the soundtrack or the actual sound design as well.
He's done all of the sound effects, and he did that last year in about 2 weeks before PAX 2017.
Mm.
And so this year we've given him a lot extra time. We've actually given him 2 months' notice, which is probably pretty crazy for him when he's almost all the other freelance work that he does. Everyone comes to him like a week, 2 weeks before PAX and goes, oh, we need sound for our game and we need it now.
Besides, obviously, well, I was about to ask who is in the team. So the two of you, and you've also had work help from James Dunn, was it, I believe? Who else is...
Audio, and then we've got Chang Su, he's the artist.
Yep.
Made really amazing art and that sort of thing, all the visuals.
So where did the inspiration for the game come from? Did you, like, see something on the side of the road that really inspired you or any particular media?
So this game initially was conceived at a game jam, and it was an extremely hacky version of the game where we've got, like, so the lighting system from the Pixies was actually made with 10,000 lights. So we turned them on and off, little spotlights.
Whoa.
And so that was extremely laggy. But what really inspired me about it was that people were really enjoying that gameplay of being invisible and not really knowing where you are and having to, you know, get a shock when you're like, oh, I thought I was over there, but, you know, I'm actually over here now. So you got to really adapt to it and learn the map and that sort of thing. Makes it really fun.
We've got a question from the chat from Moody Xander. He asks, or they ask, I'm curious over how other players navigate, seeing how the stage seems dark and only the light are from objects or the gobbler.
So, yeah, the Pixies have their own light. So they press A to activate their ability, their ping ability, and then that lights up the whole area around them, and then they use that to navigate. But obviously you have to use that very sparingly, otherwise the gobbler will be able to track you down very easily.
Love that dynamic mechanic. Sorry, and was this game at? We were talking about this earlier. I'm sure I'd played this game or at least seen it. But Mitch was unsure. PAX 2017.
Yes.
Yes. I don't think we got around to talking to you, unfortunately. But I do remember playing it. It was very cool.
That's good.
So what's changed since PAX 2017? Have you added anything?
Oh, so much.
Pretty much everything. So the game now has networked multiplayer. We've got that new camera system that I was talking about. We've got two new maps. We've got a forest. And then now we're working on a castle-style map. And then we've got at least three new pixies and three new gobblers. And the gobblers each have their own abilities, and so do the pixies. So it's really, really expanded content-wise, and we've just kept the core gameplay there, or the fun gameplay mechanics, and kept that there.
So how long have you all been working on the game?
So I've been working on the game with Chang since the start of 2017, so about a year and a half, and then Daniel came in at the start of this year for the design and that sort of thing.
Been available as an early access demo since February of this year, and there's been a few devlog updates since then. How has the first 6 months of launch been, or soft launch?
It's been pretty good. We've got quite a bit of valuable feedback and that sort of thing. Initially, the game was extremely dark, but we've actually made it a little bit easier to see, like, the outlines of the rocks and the walls and that sort of thing by adding a fog effect.
Right.
And that just makes this that little bit easier to sort of see or plan where you could go.
Yeah, we had some very valuable feedback come through through the demo on our website. We put that to good use. So, yeah, like James said, you know, making it a bit easier to sort of navigate because, yeah, the darkness came up a little bit. So it's probably one of the major changes we've made.
So obviously just building on the content has been our main goal for this year.
Sure.
I got another question from the chat. Moody Xander asks again, won't Pixie players who memorize the map have advantages by not needing to use the ping system?
Mm.
You could definitely do that, but even I get stuck on corners sometimes. So as someone who's played the game for a year and a half, you can still get caught out because you're completely invisible. So you just sometimes you don't realize you might have, you know, been off at a little bit of a more of an angle than you thought, and then
I guess navigating in darkness, you can only be so confident.
So
yeah, and also with all the new abilities that the goblins are going to be able to get, one of them's a sort of like a night vision one where it like turns everything, their lights green, and then you're able to see like through walls and that sort of thing. You're able to see the pixies through walls, whereas normally you wouldn't be able to. And so it's adding all these little.
When you talk about stuff. When you talk about memorizing the map, actually, the thrill of the chase makes it really intense. So, you know, when you are moving about as a pixie, when you sort of enter into the line of sight of the gobbler, you know, you sort of drop your marbles, you sort of cut loose and sort of running this way and that way. And it's very easy to sort of lose yourself as you try to navigate.
Panicked escapes and mistakes are plenty.
Yes. And jukes. Lots of jukes.
So what are the plans going forward with the game?
So the game's going to be released in 6 weeks, and then we're also going to PAX 2018 again in Melbourne and show it off there and there. So we're launching game in 6 weeks. So that's our plan.
Very exciting.
And is there anything you're scrambling to add or anything you're scrambling to polish before launch?
A lot of polish to do before launch. Yep, absolutely. we want it to be you know, as solid as possible by the time launch comes around. So, yeah, sort of fixing up all the maps, doing lots of debugging, making sure that everything's fully functional and there's ample content to go when we do launch.
And what's the home stretch been like for you so far? Like, we do talk to a lot of game developers on when their betas come out or when their game's already out, but what does it feel like now to be this close?
Pretty intense.
I think it's a constant 100% stress level. So there's no point in the day where I'm not worrying about that I should be doing work, because I do a full-time programming as well. So I've got to come home, you know, almost every night, and then every night on the weekends working on the game and making sure we're able to get it past the mark.
Now, I believe this is the first release or the first game for Pixel Engineers together. Have you ever, as a crew, worked on any games in the past?
We did work on a game. We attended in Melbourne, which is the Academy of Interactive Entertainment. In fact, all three of us, James, myself, and Jing, we were all in the same, all doing the same course. Towards the end of our second year, which would have been the final year of the course, I worked with James on a survival horror game, which unfortunately never saw the light of day. but it was really something really really intense. Sort of set aboard a spaceship that had gone adrift, and you played as the lone survivor and being pursued by mutant creatures on board the ship.
I'm noticing a pattern here.
Yeah. we have another question from Moody Zander on the chat. He would like to know, how do you design the balance? The short preview seems to put the players, other than the gobbler, at disadvantage by virtue of having no idea where the character or where they're going.
Well, really, we're hoping the abilities will sort of balance it out quite a bit. We're still fine-tuning them. But they are coming along, so that's just one of the efforts we're sort of making to sort of put the ball, at, you know, in the park of the pixies, so they don't feel like they're completely helpless. It'll definitely assist them in sort of making those quick escapes when they have to, and just add to the overall dynamic of gameplay.
Yeah, we'll also be getting a few QA testers in to test the game. My younger brother, don't have to pay him, so I can just get him in and do some testing and that sort of thing.
Get that family slave labor in.
A few other more professional people in as well.
Sorry there.
No, you're fine.
I was just going to say, if you've just joined us, which listening to Pixel Sift, of course, the gaming interview podcast live on Twitch, we are talking to James Coney and Daniel Spiteri about their game Hunt and Sneak. Very excited for the launch. 6 weeks. That seems pretty pressing. Usually we speak to people, and if the game's kind of coming out that quickly, there's at least some kind of something going on as far as the marketing or the lead up to it on the internet. But There's no alluding to launching in 6 weeks anywhere on the internet at the moment.
So it's actually a Skype interview right after this interview. We'll be speaking to our marketing team.
Nice.
Right.
So that's going to be coming out in the next couple of weeks.
So you heard it here first. 6 weeks.
Yes.
Pixel Sift exclusive. World exclusive.
That's right. It does interest me, like, once a lot of game developers that we talk to, they find that game development is like one part of the process, but then the rest of it is almost like the marketing and business management. What's that been like for you guys to learn?
Yeah, it's been very much stop and go, which is the reason why we've brought some professional marketers on. Up until now, we've been sort of handling the marketing in-house. Putting up the website, maintaining a bit of an online presence as much or wherever we really could, updating our blog whenever we could, I suppose. Just trying to sort of maintain that. So it is it did sort of fall in second to actual work on the game. It has been challenging, but well, hopefully you'll see a lot more of us online now that sort of brought in the big guns.
it has been a very big a big thing for us was uploading the game to itch.io and GameJolt, sharing a demo to those pages. It's got quite a few people looking at it and downloading it, so that has been very good to get exposure and that sort of thing. And it's just been a massive learning process. I mean, the website initially is nothing like it is now. It's a lot cleaner, like a lot more good screenshots and all that sort of thing, and the text and all sort of things is getting better day by day.
Well, if people do want to check out your Wicked content that is available out there, where's the best place for people to go?
You just go to huntandsneak.com.
Cool. For all your updates, All the games, all the everything and everything going forward, of course, 6 weeks, and you can cop it all for yourself. That is about all the time we have for in this episode. We will post up all the information of where you can get the games if you've missed any of the details along the show. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Pixel Sift. Big thank you to Daniel and James.
Hey there.
Oh, wrong one. This one. Big thank you to Daniel and James for spending some time with us this evening and telling us all about their game Hunt and Sneak. This episode was hosted by myself, Scott Quigg, and of course, Mitchell Lowe.
Hey!
It was produced by the fantastic Fiona Bartholomeus, and of course, let's not forget our executive producer, Gianni DiGiovanni.
I mean, we kind of still think he works for the company, but he hasn't been around in
He's
a while.
Around. He's around. He's in the books. Thank you very much to Murdoch University School of Arts for supporting Pixel Sift through all the 104 episodes. If you'd like to learn more about a great creative degree, go to murdoch.edu.au/arts. As always, we'll be sticking links to topics we talked about in the show notes on our website, www.pixelsift.com.au. The absolute best thing you can do is head to pixelsift.com.au/discord. If you want to keep up with everything we're doing, we post everything there first, and you can chat to us about what you're playing, articles you've read, or share the cool work you do. We've also got other social media pages as well, like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Just search for Pixel Sift. And Mitch, if people want to listen to episodes other than this one, where should they go?
Yeah, so it's also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Casts, and wherever you get your podcasts, pretty much search Pixel Sift and our yellow icon will appear.
That's it. While you're on Apple Podcasts, if you could give us a review and a star rating, that would really help to find our show. That's all.
The next show will be on the 20th of September.
That's true. Big thank you to James. A big thank you to Daniel. And we're out.
See ya.
If you're in the market for a super addictive puzzle game, you have to check out Mini Motorways on Apple Arcade. It's a city planning strategy puzzler with an incredibly satisfying gameplay loop. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. New subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.